termite towers, beehives, and then there's the colorful world in the movie Finding Nemo that makes you want to jump in there with all the other fishes.
Come aboard, explorers! All knowledge exploring is oh so lyrical when you think thoughts that are imperative.
Ah, alas, but you can't. It's a Disney movie. And in recent years, real coral reefs have lost their Disney color, in particular the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. One of our world's great natural treasures is, scientists are saying, truly terminal. After what are called sequential, massive bleaching events, where ocean temperatures rise beyond what coral can sustain. Many scientists were not expecting this level of destruction of the reef for another 30 years. Fabien Cousteau has seen this firsthand as an aquanaut, environmental advocate, and founder of the Fabien Cousteau Ocean Learning Center. He's the grandson of the famed explorer and conservationist Jacques Cousteau. Fabien has found more than one Nemo in his day. Welcome to The Takeaway, Fabien.
Thank you very much.
Nostalgia? Do you have nostalgia for coral reefs that used to actually look like Disney movies?
I do, because I got to see them firsthand as a child. And now we see them on a very different level. And unfortunately, people have a disconnect because they never got a chance, especially this generation has never gotten a chance to see what a pristine coral reef is like.
How sensitive is that habitat? And do you see it taking the sort of brunt of climate change and environmental pollution?
Well, with climate change, it's the things you don't immediately see that are probably the most alarming. And unfortunately, coral reefs being under the ocean is one of those things. That's a canary in the coal mine. And they have taken quite a beating, as we've seen lately in the news. And unfortunately, that's not going to stop. It's highly alarming because this is an ecosystem that about 72% of the ocean ecosystem depends on.
And how long did it take for a coral reef to become the kind of crazy, wild, colorful, diverse habitat that you see?
Well, coral typically grows anywhere from a centimeter a year to a centimeter a century. So in the case of the Great Barrier Reef, which is an extremely complex ecosystem and the only living structure that you can see from outer space is something that took hundreds of thousands of years.
And it is dead?
Well, it's not as easy as that. It is a complex set of organisms. So you've got not only the corals themselves, but all sorts of other animals that live and thrive around the coral reef. But the stony corals, which is what everyone's focusing on right now, has been quite badly battered and damaged. And there are hundreds of species of hard corals within that ecosystem, some of which resist better than others to climate change. Many of them bleach, unfortunately, for various reasons, including the temperature variations. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Is it possible we're seeing adaptive processes going on in the sense that the analogy isn't maybe that it's dead, but that it's become like, say, inner city Detroit, and there's a process to redo the city, but it's definitely not its golden age?
You know, nature is a phenomenal thing. I don't want to give false hopes, but at the same time, nature has three general rules that it lives by, and adaptation is one of them. And of course, when there are vacancies within those coral reefs, other critters, other organisms fill those gaps typically. Not necessarily the ones that we're used to or the ones that a coral reef can thrive on, but it is one of those things where, you know, space is a premium, and a coral reef being an underwater city has vacancies, and therefore other creatures go in there. So you'll see a morphing over the years from different species and different colors and so on and so forth. But it's not going to be as complex and rich an ecosystem.
And it's sad to see, even though nature may have some surprises in the rebuilding process.
Well, yes, both good and bad surprises. In some cases, we're losing knowledge that we never even had a chance to get to, for example, cures for cancer and malaria and things like that. In other cases, the new hybridizations of some of these species may give us other answers.
Did your grandfather, your legendary grandfather, sense that this was coming?
My grandfather was talking about climate change back in the 1950s, and as some other visionaries as well. It's alarming that Rio 20, the COP series, et cetera, we've just now started to address some of the climate change related issues. Unfortunately, not fast enough, and now we're seeing the brunt of what was predicted.
Did he have a sense of how bad it would be, of how different your view of the underwater world would be than his was in the pristine days?
Well, as a not only an adventurer but a showman, he dramatized a lot of things. But I think in this case, his dramatic analogies of climate change actually have come true and may even have been underestimated.
So you lie awake at night thinking, Grandpa, I can actually bring it all back with 3D printing, with technology.
It is. I don't think that's the ultimate solution, but it's certainly part of the solution. But using 3D printing technology, so new technologies, we can engage young people in innovative solutions, in part to help restore some of these coral reef ecosystems and in a very real way, educate them and empower them to think differently, to think outside the box.
But just to be precise, the 3D printer creates the scaffold that the organisms then can live around.
Correct. So coral is a complex colony, if you will, of animals. Basically, there are two components, the hard structure and then the residents, which are the zooxanthellae. The hard structure is what
we're – zooxanthellae.
Zooxanthellae, yes.
I learned something new
zooxanthellae,
every day.
Zooxanthellae. Yeah. And those are the polyps. Those are what give the coral color. And when they're disrupted and they eject themselves, that's when you get the coral bleaching. We're creating structure. We're creating the buildings, the infrastructure, the housing, if you will, for those zooxanthellae to come back. It's virgin buildings, just like in New York City these days.
So it is like Detroit. It is like Detroit.
It is a little bit of rebuilding, absolutely. And we're encouraging them to come back. We're also using hybridization techniques, which help the coral adapt quicker to the effects that we've created as a species.
But I don't mean to be Pollyanna-ish, and no one should be. This isn't a panacea, as you've said. This doesn't solve the problem. This is an attempt of humans to use design techniques to make things better.
Absolutely. The problem, quote unquote, of climate change is a very complex one. It comes from a lot of different sources and most importantly from our everyday bad habits. And doing 3D coral printing happens to be just a drop in the bucket in addressing a very large global problem that we need to address in various ways. We know where we're headed if we don't do anything. So I'm charging full on into it, and I encourage everybody on this planet to do the same so that we can hope for a better world.
Fabien Cousteau speaking to everyone on the planet, as all Cousteaus do. Aquanaut environmental advocate and founder of the Fabien Cousteau Ocean Learning Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.